Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
NASDAQ goes Nordic.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Well, NASDAQ didn't get the London Stock Exchange, but now it's managed to score its Nordic counterpart, OMX. The price tag is $3.7 billion. Lest you think OMX is just some obscure Scandinavian concern, it's known as one of the first consolidators in the markets world. On Wall Street Thursday, the Dow tumbled 85 to 13,441. The NASDAQ fell 39 to 2537, and the S&P fell 15 to 1507. Being better off financially than your parents is a thing of the past. A new study by the Pew Charitable Trusts find American men in their 30s are doing worse than their dads. Just a decade ago, that wasn't the case. On the other hand, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development says the global economy is in its best shape in years. Marketplace's Steve Tripoli says there are a few potential potholes in this prosperity.
The OECD says Europe, Japan, and emerging economies are picking up the slack of a U.S. economic slowdown. Simon Johnson, the International Monetary Fund's chief economist, says this evening out of growth is giving the world a stronger economic foundation. But he says it comes with its own risks.
There's a worry, I think, that there's some complacency. People are taking this global growth a little bit too much for granted.
Johnson says the last time the world saw a growth spurt like this was in the 1960s. The difference now is that people don't see as much political stability as they did back then. So they don't see important factors like food and oil prices as stable either.
So there's an expectation of instability in some key economic drivers that makes both consumers and governments more cautious than they have been in the past.
That means they're not taking the extra cash from strong growth for granted, which is a good thing. It could prolong the good times and lower the risk they'll end with a bang. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
EU regulators to Google, stop violating our privacy. Maya Palmer of the Financial Times has been following the story.
The EU data protection commissioners are concerned about the length of time that Google is keeping search data. This is the data that they keep every time you search for something on Google.
So they're worried that over a period of time, if you look at everything I search for, you can construct a profile about me and then do who knows what with it.
Exactly. And we would know, you know, where you go to church, what you shop for, you know, perhaps, you know, what you're interested in doing on your days off. And all these things can be put together to create quite a detailed profile, which somebody could abuse, you know, perhaps for identity theft or perhaps government surveillance. So that's also an issue.
Why does Google say it needs to keep this information at all? And how long does it think it wants to keep it for?
Well, there's two main reasons Google wants to keep this. First of all, they say that it's for their own security. So by keeping this information and looking at it, they can spot abuses of their own system, people who might be wanting to misuse the AdWords system to commit click fraud or hackers. And so they say they need to be able to look at this and kind of identify malicious individuals and deal with that. So they say they have commercial and security reasons why they want to keep that data. So now what we're sort of haggling over is, well, how long should you keep it? And Google have proposed that they will keep it for up to 2 years, and then after that, they will make it completely anonymous. So they will keep some sort of vague statistics. But unfortunately, the privacy commissioners didn't think that that was good enough. So they've now come back to Google and saying, well, we think 2 years is too long. You have to tell us why you think you should be allowed to keep it for this long.
Google meets up with European regulators again in June.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by Fox Searchlight, presenting Once, the tale of two kindred spirits making music and finding romance on the bustling streets of Dublin, now playing in select theaters. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
Lubbock, Texas would not be the place to be in a certain intimate items business. Seems a clerk in a lingerie store there was jailed last week for selling sexual devices. There's an obscure law that makes it illegal to possess six or more of the devices at a time. You probably won't be surprised to learn there's a lot of money in those marital aids. We sent Stacey Vanek-Smith to investigate.
If you've made love in the room with the TV on and you spent more time tuning into the TV than your lovemaking...
At a home in Ventura, California, about a dozen women are having a passion party. It's kind of like a Tupperware party. They play games and sample products while a representative talks them through a whole line of intimacy items.
This is our soy seduction massage candles.
Passion Party's business is growing 40% a year. CEO Pat Davis credits a lot of that success to making women comfortable.
My goal was to make the products, the marketing, the catalogs, everything we did, appeal for every woman so that she didn't feel intimidated.
Not long ago, products like condoms and lubricants were marketed clinically or with a locker room approach. Lisa Johnson is the founder of Reach Women Marketing Group. She says that wasn't wooing the ladies.
Women have been craving a space in between clinical and dirty.
Johnson says advertisers are changing their tune, taking cues from pop culture, like TV show Sex and the City.
I'm telling you, we almost broke the bed.
What does the stallion do for a living?
I'm not sure.
We showed a level of candor that was not being expressed in the way people were advertising towards women.
Johnson says companies have started a kind of sexual marketing revolution. Ads have become direct, informative, and fun. Johnson & Johnson led the charge. It expanded its KY line to include massage oils and warming gels and launched a humorous ad campaign.
Keeping a relationship alive? It takes work.
KY's sales quadrupled. Then Trojan joined the fray with its Alexa line of intimate products. Marketed with cool music, hip animation, and a MySpace page, it's been selling out. Passion Party's Pat Davis isn't surprised at how fast female consumers responded to the change.
Because today's woman, she really wants to know. Women now are taking responsibility for the sexual pleasure in the relationship.
Not to mention the purse strings. Viagra pushed the male arousal market to a $2 billion a year industry. It's estimated the market for women will be worth three times that. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Whatever you do, have a great holiday weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.